before we do begin, in a class I took one time, the teacher, the professor made this comment. He said, for each minute that you preach, it should be an hour of preparation. Okay? Today I'm going to change it. Miss Jean, or Grandma Jean, has told me that I can preach a minute for every day, excuse me, every year that she is celebrating today.
She's 21.
She's 21. Let's pray together. Father God, we do praise you and thank you for this day and for the opportunity again to be here together, to worship you together, to sing praises to you, to laugh with you. But most of all, we're thankful how you are here with us. Your promise is to always be with us no matter where we are, what's taking place. And as we look about what it is that you're doing at this moment for us, we just ask, as Caleb prayed him a minute ago, that you would open our eyes, our ears, and especially our hearts as we hear your message for us today. Amen. The greatest intercessor, Webster Dictionary, defines intercessor this way: a person who intervenes on behalf of another, especially in prayer. A person who intervenes on behalf of another, especially in prayer. As you look through the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, we'll see many examples of someone being an intercessor for somebody, or even for a group of people. When Joseph's brothers had gone back to, were getting ready to go back to Egypt the second time. Remember, they had been there once, and even though they didn't recognize who Joseph was, and then they left, they had to leave a brother there, Simeon. And so they went back home. Remember, the famine was taking place, and they ran out of food again, so they're getting ready to go back. And their dad did not want to let the youngest, I lost my name here a minute.
But
Benjamin, yes, excuse me. Did not want Benjamin to go back. He'd already lost one son, so he thought Joseph. He did not want him to go back. And Judah then steps up. And he makes the comment, basically says this. He said, if anything happens to him, it's on me. If something happens to him and we can't bring him back, it's on me. He stepped up because he knew that if they did not go back to Egypt, they were going to die. They were going to starve to death. So he intervened. He was an intercessor for his whole family. And in a way, for thousands later, as the Israelites grew, as they're in Judah, or in Egypt, excuse me, we see Abraham as an intercessor in prayer, pleading for the life of Sodom, or for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember when Abraham found out what God was going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah because of the huge wickedness that was taking place in those two towns. Abraham said, well, are you going to destroy the good people along with the bad people, the righteous along with the wicked? And so him and God get in this discussion, and he goes, well, what if there's 50 people there that are still righteous? And God says what? Well, if you can find 50, if there's 50 there, I'll spare everybody. I won't kill anybody. So then Abraham kind of stands there for a moment, or how I picture, he stands there for a moment. He goes, well, Lord, what if there's only 40? And what's God say? Well, if there's 40, I'll spare them. Abraham goes, well, while we're talking about it, what if we only find 30? God says what? All right, 30. And they end up getting all the way down to 10. And I'm not saying this is where God necessarily cut off. This is where Abraham, I don't know if didn't want to press his luck anymore or just what. They got down to 10. And Abraham says, what if there's 10? And God says what? If there's 10, only 10 in those two cities, I won't destroy anybody. And of course, unfortunately, they couldn't even find 10 righteous people. Moses interceded for the Israelites when God was ready to destroy them and start all over. Remember, God made the comment to him. He says, man, what have I done? I'm mad because of what these people are doing. I'm mad that I've even created them. And Moses says, hey, remember the prayer, or excuse me, remember the promise you made? You promised these people that you were going to be with them. And not that God was going back on his promise. I think a lot of it was a test for Moses and what he was, how he was going to interact with God in that situation. But Moses interceded for the Israelites. The Levitical priests, beginning with Aaron, were intercessors for the people of Israel, especially on the Day of Atonement, when one would go into the Holy of Holies and make atonement for the sins of the nation. And these examples of Abraham, Judah, Moses, and the Levitical priests, and so many others, we see something that they all had in common besides being intercessors. Each one of them at some point in their life experienced failure. Moses was a failure at one point. Remember when he struck the rock instead of just tapping it like God had told him to? Moses got mad at different times too, and we get mad, we fail, we sin. Abraham failed when he took the plan that God had for him to have a son into his own hands and tried to have a son a different way. The brothers of Joseph failed when they sold him into slavery, then lied to their dad that he had been killed. But today, we're talking about our perfect intercessor. Our perfect intercessor. That perfect one who intervenes on behalf of us, especially in prayer. Now, last week, of course, we had Good Friday and of course, Easter Sunday, and we talked how Jesus went to the cross, and we talked about that often, how he has risen from the dead. But we have to remember that, yes, he did die. Yes, he was raised. And yes, he is in heaven with God at this time, at the right-hand side of him, preparing a home for eternity for us. But we have to remember what Jesus is actually doing at this moment. Right here, right now, in this moment, Jesus is praying for us. He's interceding for us. Hebrews 4, 14 and 15 says this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us behold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Who here has ever felt the burden of being tempted? I'm not saying you even gave in, but just the burden of being tempted. Sure. Who felt it this week? Okay? Sometimes we don't even realize we're being tempted. But in everything that we have been tempted or ever will be tempted, Jesus has been tempted, maybe in a different setting, but he's experienced the temptation just as we have. Who's ever failed when they were tempted? But Jesus has never has. That's what makes him our perfect intercessor. Hebrews 7, 24, 25 says, but he, talking about Christ, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That word uttermost, in other words, can also be interpreted for good, forever. Continuing. He is able to save forever those who come to God through him. Jesus knows what it's like to hurt. Not just physically, but emotionally. Have a heartache for somebody, for a loved one. Jesus knows what it's like for God to turn his back on him. Hebrews 9:24 says, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. For us. Romans 8:33, Paul says this, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. He who is condemns, it is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Ephesians 2:18, for through him, Christ, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Paul told Timothy these words in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. And John said in 1 John 2:1-2, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but for also for the whole world. You know, when John wrote those letters or said those words, he was writing to Christians. He was saying, hey, even as Christians, I wrote these words so that we as Christians don't sin. But when we still do, Jesus is up there saying to God, yeah, they sin, but they're still ours. I have sealed them in my blood. Now, please don't take that to mean that Pastor Brian just said you can go do whatever you want to do today and sin. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that Christ is our mediator. Times when we need defending, Christ is praying for us. Times when we are hurting, Christ is praying for us. Time when we're confused, Christ is praying that somebody or that God would give Scott some wisdom. Just kidding. All these verses are clear about that important fact about Jesus. Though so many times, I'm not saying we necessarily don't realize it, but sometimes we forget about it or we don't understand it. Jesus is not just sitting up there next to God waiting for us to get to heaven. He's not up there saying, okay, well, is it time for me to go back, God? Okay, whatever, I'll just take a nap. He's up there praying to God for us, each and every one of us. You know, while Christ was on the earth, he was our advocate then, and he continues to be now. In John 17, we read how Christ prayed for his disciples the night before he would be crucified. And we've talked a lot about this the last couple of weeks, especially on Wednesdays. Christ is in heaven today praying for his followers. And I believe this, that when Jesus prayed for his followers, when he's praying for the disciples, and then he prayed for the followers, the disciples of the future yet to come, you know, it's kind of hard to put this when you're writing it, but when Jesus was praying, I think he was, in his mind, saying every single person's name. He wasn't just looping it under an umbrella clause. He wasn't just saying, okay, I'm praying for these 11 here, these 11 disciples, and this group over here. I think he was saying that night, Lord, be with Matthew. Be with John. Be with Peter. Be with the people of Locust Grove Church. Be with Jim. Be with Wyatt. Now, in our minds, because we do one thing at a time, but Jesus is what? He's God. Have you ever gotten up in the morning and you just had that uneasy feeling that something just wasn't right, that something's just going to go wrong that day? Everybody had that? Ever had that feeling? Am I the only one that's ever had that?
No.
Okay. But you know what? Jesus knew before creation that we were going to have something bothering us that day. And you know what he's been doing? Praying for that day. praying for us so that we would come to him in that on those days, or lean on him in those days. Christ already knew what was going to happen. Now, there are times, and please, when I say this next statement, please give me a chance to explain before you throw something at me up here, choir. There are times that even the prayers of Christ are not answered the way he desires. But that does not take away from his righteousness. And I say that because remember when Jesus told Peter, before, you know, Peter was saying, he was kind of being in one of those bold moments, and Jesus saying, or Peter was saying, I'm going to follow you to the end, and just all this, and what does Jesus say? He said, Peter, be careful, and I'm paraphrasing here. He said, Peter, be careful, because Satan is after you. Satan wants you. He said, I've been praying for you, and what did Peter end up doing that night? Denying three times. Jesus had been praying for Peter, but Peter still had to make the decision. And Jesus up there praying for us on certain situations, but sometimes we do what? We make the wrong choice. But that does not take away from his righteousness or his prayers for us. For me, it just kind of even helps me boost me up when I feel Christ praying for me, or when I understand Christ praying for me. It doesn't guarantee that everything will go smoothly, but it does promise me that when I'm having those days where I'm getting bad news from the doctor, or times that I realize that I've sinned, Jesus has been praying for me. He's been going to God the Father saying, give him strength. Give him compassion. Give him mercy. Touch him. Help him through those times when he's struggling. And when Satan brings a charge against us to God, Jesus is right there to say, no, I don't think so. They're already saved. Remember when Job went through everything that he went through? Satan went up there to God and God asked him, well, what have you been up to? Now, this is just paraphrasing here. Don't quote me word for word here. He said, what have you been up to? And Satan goes, well, I've been going around the earth and everything and just looking at everybody and see what they're doing. And God goes, well, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan goes, yeah, but he only worships him because you've given him everything. You've blessed him so much. So you take just one of those things away and he's going to turn away from you. And God says, okay, you can do anything to him, but you can't hurt him. Okay? And what happens? Job loses almost everything. Even his kids are killed and everything. Satan goes back up there and God says, I like to look at it this way. Told you so. Maybe you're not exactly like that. Satan goes, yeah, but you know what? If you take away his health, he's going to turn from you. And God says, okay, tell you what. You can do anything you want to him, but you can't kill him. And Job gets afflicted with all those boils that he wished maybe he would have died. From the top of his head to the bottoms of his feet. The only way he can get relief is to scrape those boils off. And the whole time, Christ is what? Praying for Job. Remember, Christ is eternal. Christ is the perfect intercessor because he has already paid the price for all of our sins. And so the Father will always accept his plea of guilty, but the penalty has already been paid. When Satan's up there saying, you know what, that Pastor Brian, he really screwed up today, and Jesus is up there saying, don't even try it, Satan. I've already got him washed in my blood. When Pastor Ron has his off days, I'm not saying you do, but when you would, you're perfect, I know. Jesus is up there saying, no. He's having an off day, yeah, he may have done something wrong or whatever, but he's already washed in my blood. And it's the same way for every single person here who has accepted him as Savior. Jesus is up there saying, no, Satan, you're not even going to try it. Well, you're going to try it, but no, get out of here. They're already washed in my blood. They're already forgiven. You have no power over them. Who could be the more perfect intercessor than the one who's already paid for our crime? Jesus paid for every single sin that we've ever committed when he was on that cross. John 11, 41 and 42 says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. In that verse, Jesus is reassuring us and reassuring the people that were there that day, right before he raised Lazarus from the dead, that God listens to him, that God hears him. And when Jesus defends us and says that we are forgiven, God refuses to remember those sins anymore. It's not that he can't, he could, but he refuses to remember them. Our forever intercessor. Our forever intercessor. The weakness of the Old Testament priesthood was that the priest, including the high priest, yeah, they had sinned, but they also died. I mean, they were human. So there was no permanence in their intercession. They had to always get a new one. They had to start over every once in a while with a new intercessor, or they chose one for the next year or whatever. But with Jesus as our high priest, we have perpetual continuity. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now I have to say something here real quick. I said the word right this time. Continuity. The first time, there was one time I was doing a sermon, I used that word continuity, and I knew it was supposed to be continuity, but when I read it, I said continuity. I couldn't admit during the sermon that I had messed up. So I actually said it right this time. But with Jesus as our high priest, we have perpetual continuity. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is never a sign on heaven's door saying, under new ownership, or there's a transition taking place, or I'm on a 5-minute coffee break. Now this means that what the Bible called sin back then is still sin today. We know that. And the way the Bible directed for forgiveness then is still the same way for forgiveness today. By putting our faith in Christ and accepting his forgiveness. That has not changed. But it also means that what the Bible says about him being our intercessor will never change. It also means that forever, that those who have put their faith in Christ, Christ is not just going to be their intercessor when they came to him and asked for forgiveness or on a Sunday morning at Locust Grove Church, but in 20 years down the line, he's still going to be our intercessor, no matter what. Jesus prays for all those believers in him all the time. Think about that for a moment. Jesus prays for us on our behalf, defending us, praying for us every single moment of every single day. We may have a lot of thoughts going through our minds on some days. Some days maybe not quite so much. But in reality, we can only verbalize those things one at a time. But Jesus is praying for us each and every day. Every single one of us. John Bob needs a little extra help today. Jesus is already on it. He's already been praying for him. John Bob can go to Jesus and ask for a special boost of power that day, a special extra comfort, but Jesus is already on it. So I'm not saying that, okay, since Jesus is already praying for us, that we don't pray anymore. That's not what I'm saying. Matter of fact, I should encourage us to pray some more. Carol's having a bad day today. Jesus is already on it. Going to God saying, give her a little extra spiritual touch today. Scripture declares, our powerful intercessor. This brings us to our powerful intercessor. Scripture declares that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. James 5:16 says, Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. And James here is talking about how effective prayer of a person, from a person who is truly walking with God and in God's direction for their life. But now think a minute for that. What James is saying there, okay, you got, who haven't I picked on yet? Gene. Gene's doing his best to walk with Christ. Walking at you in every day. I'm not saying he's perfect, but he's righteous. Especially since Christ has made him righteous. And Gene is bringing a prayer request to God. And it says there that that prayer is going to be like a special touch to it, if you want to put it like that. But think about how much more the prayers that Christ has for us to God, because Jesus is what? He's righteous. He's sinless. How much more that's going to bless us. I've heard the saying, prayer moves the arm that moves the world. If that's true, how much more true is this when the arm that moves the world is the arm that created the world and the arm of the one who is praying for us, who has us wrapped, his arm wrapped around us. Christ, in his power, created the heavens and the earth and everything else. Christ has a connection with God the Father, the Judge. And Christ assures and promises that all those who come to him will experience forgiveness, will experience God blessing them. At this time, we have a special for you. It is by the power of prayers of Christ that we are able to be reconciled to God and live a life for God. We may look at ourselves and say, you know what, Jesus, I'm having a pretty good day today of following you. And sometimes we do have good days. It's not like we have a bad day every single day. But it's only because of Christ that we're able to have those days. And even when we do fail, we know that Christ is praying for us. Peter still denied Jesus. But look at what took place in Peter's life later. Jesus makes sure that Peter realizes that he is forgiven. And because of the prayers of Christ for Peter, Peter becomes one of the greatest evangelical preachers there ever was. Not just because he preached some words to a few thousand people and they came to know Christ that day as their Savior. But because as Peter was saying those words, Christ was praying for God to touch the hearts of those people Peter was praying to. You see, Jesus doesn't just pray for the believers. He's praying for those who have to yet come and believe. Christ prays in power for the unbeliever, just as much he prays in for the power for the believer. If there's someone here today that's never truly put their faith in Christ, who's never accepted Christ's forgiveness, Jesus at this very moment is praying for you. He's saying, God, touch them. I know they got to come to you, but just move in their heart. Move in their life some way, somehow, to bring them to you. Today, whether we're believers or unbelievers, we remember that Christ is with us. We know that Christ is praying for us. If there is someone here today that's never truly accepted Christ, I beg with you, I plead with you, just as Jesus pleading with God the Father, may today be their day of salvation. Ask them. Ask him for forgiveness. If you'd like to come down as we sing our last song here in just a second, you want to go ahead and come up and get ready, Kayla? We have people here to pray with you. But today, or if you're a Christian or a believer that's kind of struggling, maybe you've been struggling for a couple days or even longer, remember, Jesus is praying for you. Maybe sometimes we need a little extra push to get back onto the right track, whatever it may be. Feel the power of the prayer being lifted up this morning by our perfect, powerful intercessor for you.